to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. The Political Cesspool radio program, our award-winning broadcast out of Memphis, Tennessee, and that's where I sit this evening as I transmit to you live from the studios of AM 1380 WLRM Radio, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, the great people who syndicate our work, and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org, our internet headquarters, where our broadcast archives are available to you immediately upon the conclusion of each live show on demand, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, dating back to 2005, 5 years of political cesspool shows. My goodness. All right. Well, Keith Alexander, is that guy dynamite or what? I want to thank Keith for sitting in with me the first hour of tonight's show, as he always does. Joining me now for the second hour, a co-host who is equally explosive, Mr. Bill Rowland. Bill, happy Labor Day weekend to you.
Well, happy Labor Day weekend to you, James, and I am absolutely lit up like the 4th of July to be on this show. I mean, as always, the excitement, I don't know if I can even make any kind of intelligent comments. I'm so excited about being on the show, I just want to stand up and applaud.
Well, Bill, it has been a huge summer for us. Me and you are actually going to discuss some of the things that have transpired this summer a little bit later on this hour. You've been a big part of that, of course, as a member of our hosting staff, along with Keith and Eddie Miller and Winston Smith this summer. I mean, the political cesspool had already been firmly solidified as a leader of the paleoconservative right, but now this summer has just taken it to a whole nother level. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But one of those things that happened occurred just this week, you know, as we were talking about during the first hour with Keith. We spent a great deal of the show last week talking about the Glenn Beck rally. And then, you know, Bill, me and you were talking. I was actually running a few errands last Sunday, and me and you got to talking about the Glenn Beck rally. And we, you know how steel sharpens steel. And so as we continued to bounce ideas off of each other, it just kind of all came together. And I said, you know what, I'm going to put a lot of this into an article for the blog. I'm going to go up there and write something about this, put it all into words, what we had talked about on the show last week, what you and I talked about in private conversation. And that's what I did. And the rest is history. As I mentioned a little bit ago, it's generated more response than any other blog entry of mine in the history of the Political Cesspool's website. It's been reposted at several major sites, too numerous to mention. It's been put on, you know, hundreds and hundreds of Facebook pages, definitely our most emailed piece ever. No other entry even comes close to it. And, Bill, you're a big part of that conversation we had. So what's your take on the Glenn Beck rally? We talked about mine at length during the first hour of the night. What was your take on the Glenn Beck rally that Keith and I haven't touched on yet?
One of the best attended strip shows of all time. And I say that because it was nothing but the typical Washington burlesque. I don't know what Glenn Beck was trying to prove. He proved nothing. He showed no leadership. He showed no inspiration. He gets on the mall in Washington and basically gets down on his hands and knees and pays homage to one of the worst philanderers, frauds, and communist tools of all time, and I mean Martin Luther King. This country has turned into the perfect Soviet state, wherein no matter what you talk about in politics, there is certain sacred ground that everyone stands on when they talk politics. And Martin Luther King has become the sacred icon of both Republicans and Democrats. And even Sarah Palin said that. She even said, this is sacred ground, as if Martin Luther King was one of the apostles, as if Martin Luther King was Jesus Christ himself. Martin Luther King, and this is what needs to be emphasized, Martin Luther King was a communist. He was not a Christian. He was a rapist and a philanderer and a liar. And these are things that were said about him by liberal Democrats in the 1960s. Lyndon Johnson called Martin Luther King that lying preacher. So the liberals of the time in 1960, during the 1960s, were dubious of Martin Luther King, and yet now he's this saint. He's this idol. He's this false idol for America. He is America's deity. And this is before any progress, before any real substantive changes can be made in what's going on in this country. Martin Luther King has to be demolished as a little demigod, or we're going nowhere in this country, because he represents everything that's wrong with the government. And by that I mean big government, huge welfare giveaways, a subsidized voting class, on and on and on. This is all a legacy of Martin Luther King. He has got to be destroyed as a false god, as a false idol, or we're going nowhere. And all Glenn Beck did was reinforce his deity status. So what does that make Glenn Beck? But a traitor to his people, a traitor to the movement, and a traitor to conservatism.
Folks, you know, that's why you tuned into the Political Cesspool. I think Bill, in about 2 minutes of analysis right there, pinpointed what separates this show from all other pretenders, why we're at the very top, the very pinnacle of paleoconservative thought. That is it. And Bill, to say you're exactly right would be rhetorical. And, you know, we were talking about the praise and adulation that has been lavished on our program, and we're happy to have it, as a result of our very forthright commentary on Martin Luther King and the Glenn Beck rally last week, which was a big Martin Luther King worship fest. And that was one of the things, you know, that I said, you know, another thing that's happened, and I mentioned this the first hour, CNN has come calling to get comments from us because they have identified us as one of the few people who are willing to speak for white Americans. We are one of the few people with the courage to speak up for white Americans and to claim for ourselves that which every minority group is not only allowed to have, but is encouraged to have, and that is spokesmen and organizational leadership and representation. They all have it, and we need it, and we're in the political cesspool is providing it. But, you know, that's exactly what I said. You know, I think that, well, let me ask you, Bill, the people there, undoubtedly some are probably too brainwashed to be redeemed, but you had 300,000 people there, implicitly white. Are they there looking for leadership, so desperate for leadership they think Glenn Beck might possibly represent that which they're seeking? Do you think that was the case there? Because that's a point I made up, and I'll let you answer that, and then I'll go from there.
I think the audience was probably better than the host and the leadership and the spokesman and the speakers. I think the audience was there to speak out and to show support for white America, for the very principles upon which this country was founded. And I'm beginning to doubt those principles myself. I'm beginning to doubt whether or not the founding fathers were right in creating this propositional government, this propositional state, where we talk about liberties and we talk about all of these abstractions. And we should have been talking about our people. Who is the country? The country is our people. And by that, we mean the descendants and of the founding stock of this country, meaning people from England, Wales, Scotland, and Germany. These are the people who built this country. There may have been some manual labor from African slaves and from other people, but the people who actually put the ideas forth to build this country were white Europeans.
Well, Bill, And that, you know, you're right about that. Although I will say this, in defense of the founding fathers, you know, of course, I don't subscribe to the creedal nation theory either, which of course states that this nation is built upon a creed or some sort of a mantra rather than it being a racial nation, which is of course what a nation is. A nation is just a collection of people from the same stock. I just don't think, though, that the founding fathers, even in their wisdom, could have foreseen how far America could possibly fall in a couple of hundred years. I just don't think back then they could have ever imagined that a lot of the things that have come down the pike would have even been possible. I mean, who would have thought that homosexuality would be something to be, you know, applauded, and that certain ideas would rise to power. I just don't know if they could have thought that. And so when they were writing in the things about liberty, they were writing them in there with the anticipation that this would always be a nation of, by, and for those who carved it from a wilderness. But nevertheless, we got a minute to break, and when we come back, I'll turn it back over to you to move forward. But, you know, I do think that those people were there with implicit whiteness kind of guiding them. I think that they are, in fact, or were a tinderbox, waiting to be set ablaze, waiting for leadership to instruct them how best to go back reclaiming America's destiny. And, of course, Glenn Beck did the absolute worst thing he could do. Instead of just leading them nowhere, he led them in the opposite direction. But I do think they're out there looking for...
Let me put it more bluntly. Glenn Beck urinated on the flame.
That's it. Well, Bill, that's exactly right. We've got to take a break. I think they're looking for that leadership. They should be entitled to have that leadership. Everyone else has it. We need to have it, too, because our heroes will never be their heroes. Our heroes will never be their heroes. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Folks, what I was repeating right before we led into that last commercial break was that our heroes will never be their heroes. And what I mean by that, it goes back to that which we say quite often on this program. We don't believe or advocate that minority groups should not be entitled to have people who advance their interests and their agenda. What we're saying is that European Americans, the founding stock, the dispossessed majority of this nation, deserve to have that too. And I think that this radio program serves as one of the premier leaders for our people, because we're not cowed by the false doctrines of political correctness. But what's so important is that... What's so important to be remembered is that what I mean when I say their heroes will not be our heroes not their heroes. You will never find, you know, black Americans who champion Robert E. Lee or Davy Crockett. Our issues are not their issues. And so, therefore, there is a big incompatibility there, which comes with having, you know, very different cultures and very different upbringings. That is why the melting pot idea never works. That is why becoming the next Tower of Babel will not work for this country. You know, you can't have a first world population. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population. But unfortunately, while they have enough ethno-political sense not to champion people that were not their heroes, our people do not. You know, Bill, when you went up to Washington last week, you saw Glenn Beck advancing the agenda of perhaps one of humanity's greatest villains. And he certainly was, you know, a villain for Christendom, and that's Martin Luther King. So while they don't advance our people and our heroes and our heritage and our culture, you find our false prophets advancing theirs. And when they do that, the battle has been lost before any of those 300,000 in attendance could ever step foot onto the field.
All right, James, let's get to the chase on this. Basically, what Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin did was to glorify a little voodoo god. And that is voodoo gods. Bolshevik voodoo god is Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King deserves admiration from white people, not at all. He was absolutely anti-white. He was absolutely pro-communist. And he was everything I said about him is true. He was a rapist. He was a philanderer. He was a liar. He was a communist. And yet this is, he obviously is an idol and an icon for political morons like Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck. And I think we should use strong terms like that, because the people who listen to this show know that we speak in strong terms. We use accurate, strong, dead-on, bullseye terms when we talk about issues. And the fact is that the Republican Party is pushing Sarah Palin as some sort of leader, as some sort of future inspiration politically. And in fact, she's a political moron. And Glenn Beck is a political moron. He only wants to maintain the status quo. He is not willing to step outside of his little box, which nets him millions and millions of dollars through Fox. And, you know, he's not going to give that up to be a true leader of anything. That's why this rally in Washington was such a nothing, zero event. It really put nothing forward. Now, I will give Martin Luther King one thing. When he made a speech, he meant it to be an inspiration for blacks to take action. This is absolutely true. When he gave a speech on, you know, I've been to the mountain speech and all these other big grandstand speeches, he meant to inspire blacks to take action. And whether it was violent action or whether it was political or civil rights action, he did so to bring them out and to get them motivated. If you notice that Glenn Beck doesn't do that at all.
Well, actually, Sarah
Palin didn't do that at all. All she did was talk about Martin Luther King. All Glenn Beck did was talk about Martin Luther King. Why is that an inspiration for us?
Well, Bill, actually, you know, Glenn Beck's, what you could compare to Martin Luther King's fervor to go out and take action, what Glenn Beck did to plug into that place would have been when he said to, you know, the zenith of his speech would have been his line where he encouraged everyone to go back to their synagogues and mosques and start refounding America again. That was it. That's what motivated the 300,000 white Christians in the audience to really get out there.
Yeah, how many Muslims were out there, do you think? How many Buddhists or Janus or Hindus? How many people were in the audience who were actually there? This is what kind of fool Glenn Beck is. He wasn't even speaking to his audience. He was speaking to a fantasy audience, a non-existent audience, an audience in cyberspace or in a hologram audience. I don't know who he was talking to. Why didn't he say this is a Christian nation? Because he didn't get the guts to, because he's not even a Christian. He's a Mormon. And you know, he doesn't have the guts to stand up for anything. Glenn Beck is strictly a showman. He's only out there to get attention so he can get bigger ratings, so he can make more money. Sarah Palin is not a politician. She's a den mother at best. If you want to qualify her leadership, she's a den mother. And, you know, maybe she can bake cookies, but she shouldn't be president of the United States. And when it comes down to leadership, we can't depend on leadership. There is no leadership. We have to look at ourselves as the inspiration for what's going on. We have to look at ourselves for individual action. We keep looking for this non-existent leader. There is no leader. We are either Christians, we are either people who believe in our, yes, in our race as important, or we are going to be exterminated. I mean, what is one of the things that the press has said about your show about our show that makes us sound evil? That we want to increase the number of white children in the world to make us proportionally significant? That makes us evil? Do you think for a minute that if we said, well, you know what, the number of non-white welfare recipients needs to go down because these people are exploiting the system, do you think that would be acceptable language in terms of the left and in terms of the liberals and in terms of the government in talking about something that's only fair? That to be, just have babies to be put on welfare is fair to whites who work? I mean, think about it, James. Only thing that we've said that they have latched onto is that whites should have more babies and support them. Why is that evil? That's saying that having white children is evil. That gives you an indication of what's going on with this, with our enemies. And Glenn Beck didn't bring that up. Glenn Beck didn't say, hey, it's great to see this audience. You're a beautiful bunch of people. Did he?
No, he didn't. And of course, he never would, because as you said,
all white.
Well, of course. But let me ask you this, Bill. This is getting off into the pie in the sky stuff, but you got 300,000 people in attendance, 300,000 people that, again, at the risk of sounding repetitive, I believe fundamentally agree with the traditional conservative doctrine that is advocated on this radio program each and every week for the last 6 years. Instead of Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin, let's say you have you know, Pat Buchanan and Bill Rowland and James Edwards and Sam Dixon, Jared Taylor as your speakers that day. What do you think the reaction is?
I think we'd have worked the crowd up into a frenzy. I think that it would have been a counter march against this Marxist government that we are beginning to see put in place. I think it would have been one of the great moments in American history, even in Washington, D.C. Now, James, consider this. Washington, D.C. is demographically hostile to conservative movement. Yet 300,000 white people showed up to express their dissatisfaction with the status quo. They went into basically hostile territory, enemy territory, to stand up and speak out.
Hey, Bill,
what
hold
did they
it right
get
there.
For their trouble? They get Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin praising Martin Luther King. What a spit
in
the face.
We'll be right back.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do.
Well, folks, for an entire show and a half, we have been talking about the Glenn Beck rally, not just the Glenn Beck rally itself, but some of the more important issues in play that surround the Glenn Beck rally. But I think we've just about said everything that there is to say about it. I do encourage you, though, in closing on this particular issue, to visit our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and read the column that I wrote last week that has gone everywhere, the Glenn Beck rally, the death rattle of mainstream conservatism, the response and the reaction that that article has gotten all the way up to CNN has capped an incredibly hot summer here for the political cesspool. And Bill, as I wrote on the website also, it all started back in June when MSNBC commentator Keith Olbermann denounced our work during his nightly Worst Person in the World rant as a result of our interview with Tim Adams. And the revelation he brought to our show about the Barack Obama birth certificate controversy, new evidence was brought to light on this show that got nationwide media attention from WorldNet Daily to The Globe. The political cesspool broke that story. That was back on June 5th. Keith Olbermann jumped on us for that. Shortly thereafter, we were attacked by actor Eli Roth, who starred alongside Brad Pitt in the sadistic Oscar-winning film Inglourious Basterds. We then became a major issue in the bitter Arizona GOP Senate primary between J.D. Hayworth and John McCain when the press caught wind that, at least initially, Sheriff Paul Bebeau had come on our show and issued his endorsement of our work. As a result of that proclamation, the political cesspool was one of the biggest news stories in Arizona for weeks. And finally, our encore interview with Hutton Gibson, who is, of course, Mel Gibson's dad, that went viral, garnering publicity for our radio program and no less than 105 different newspapers and online publications around the globe, several Hollywood tabloids, and even Bill Rowland was spoofed on late-night comedy shows, the Jimmy Kimmel Live show it was. For my own part in that interview, received an invitation to appear as a guest on Entertainment Tonight. All that has happened within the last 3 months, ladies and gentlemen. And did I mention that this summer also gave birth to the release of my book, Racism Schmacism, How Liberals Use the R Word to Push the Obama Agenda? That was a book that has been critically acclaimed, enthusiastically reviewed and endorsed by many of our movement's greatest minds, including Dr. Virginia Abernathy, Peter Brimelow, Peter Gemma, Dr. Paul Godfrey, Dr. Kevin McDonald, Steve Saylor, Richard Spencer, and a host of others. The reception that the book has enjoyed has simply been overwhelming. And I mentioned, of course, to top it all off, all the publicity we're generating as a result of our commentary on the Glenn Beck thing all the way up to CNN. Bill Rowland, it has indeed been a remarkable summer, to say the least, that is winding down now as we head into the Labor Day weekend with the consensus that the Political Cesspool radio program has firmly solidified itself as the premier advocate of pro-white thought in North America. We're now welcoming up to 10,000 visitors, unique visitors, a day to our website, even more to the show itself. Bill, all in a summer's work for the hosting staff here at Liberty News Radio.
Well, you know, James, I want to say for one thing that many of these interviews were as much a surprise to us as to the audience. Tim Adams was certainly a great surprise when he came on. And as he would say himself, he was a liberal Democrat, voted for Hillary Clinton. He was not someone who necessarily shared all of our political views, but we gave him the chance to speak out on a very important issue. And that's the key. We want to bring the audience the truth. No, even if the truth doesn't always suit our opinions. And certainly Tim Adams was one such case where he had something to say, had something important to say, and he chose our show as an outlet, as a conduit, as a font for the truth. Also, of course, the same thing holds true for Hutton Gibson. He felt comfortable enough to come on his show, on this show, and express his opinion without worrying about repercussions from the hosts. We are not ambush radio. So, of course, this, I'm sure, is very scary for the people at the Southern Poverty Law Center who had written our death notice 2 or 3 years ago. But here we are. And, you know, we can stand up and, I think, really give them a certain amount of contempt and disdain, because they wrote us off a long time ago, but here we are. A show that absolutely does this for our people. We are not making money on this. We are not paid commentators. We are not paid disc jockeys. Yeah, you know, we're out here doing this for our people. And so when you listen to this show, you're listening to people who are talking about issues that are important to you that have nothing to do with money or compensation or ratings or anything else. This show has gained an audience because we get out every Saturday and talk about issues that are important to our audience, and we do it without a thought of getting any sort of wealth or publicity or fame or anything else. We've been speaking the truth, and that's why our audience grows.
And, of course, the success that we have enjoyed, not just this summer, but over the course of our six-year history, is certainly a result not only of our own efforts. Our efforts are supported by the people who tune into the show, our vaunted listening audience. You know, it's our listening audience is what the Southern Poverty Law Center fears. And without the audience that makes this radio program, we would just be, we would still be who we are. But it's the audience and the power that that audience gives us that strikes fear into the hearts of our enemies. And as a result, you know, we are still public enemy number one there at the SPLC. And in fact, you know, with Keith Olbermann, I mean, we've been Eli Roth, you know, in an Oscar-winning movie, and of course, all of these leftist puke organizations, you know, they can't stop talking about us. You know, 105 different newspapers have covered us this summer. And a lot of that was due to the Hutton Gibson interview. But, you know, and I want to revisit, you know, something Hutton Gibson said, which is right on target. This is something, this should be another mantra of the program. This is what he wrote in defense of his appearance on our show and in defense of our work. He writes, tolerance is the last virtue of a depraved society. When an immoral society has blatantly and proudly violated all the commandments of God, it insists upon one last virtue, tolerance for its immorality. It will not tolerate condemnation of its perversions. So, you know, that's certainly a truth that we run into each and every week, Bill. But at the end of the day, you know, and there's so much that could be said about this radio program, the positive impact this program has made, the rich history of this show now spanning over half a decade. And I think the star of this radio program certainly was shining very bright, very luminescent before this summer. But this summer has just taken it to a whole nother level. Bill, what's the highlight of the summer been for you? You know, we mentioned a lot of it. The Hutton Gibson interview, all the attention that the Tim Adams interview got with us, the denunciations from all of these, you know, so-called celebrities. What's been the highlight for you?
Well, I think the summer as a whole has been a highlight, because what this summer has demonstrated is that we can bring to the audience programs of significance, of importance, and of resounding damage to the status quo of the media. Now, of course, the media has picked up on some of our story, but the point is, the message is getting out. Our guests and our, whatever we do is getting out there. We're beginning to penetrate the status quo. We're beginning to penetrate the bastions of liberal power, which is through the media. And they're beginning to worry about that. Where's this little show coming from? How is it that this little show broadcast on this little radio station having such an impact? Who are these people? And, you know, the thing is, isn't it interesting that so much attention from the mainstream media has to be directed and pinpointed at a little show run by volunteers? What does that say about the media itself? What does that say about the big media? It says they're not doing their job. It says that they are not impartial observers of society and politics. It proves that they are absolutely biased in towards liberalism, towards leftism, towards Barack Obama and his hideous regime. They're absolutely biased. If that wasn't the case, then we wouldn't have any listeners. We wouldn't have people listening to the show right now who are desperately seeking the truth, are desperately seeking reinforcement for their own opinion. Believe me, my friends. Believe me when James talks, we mean business.
Hey, Bill, hold it right there, buddy. We mean business. We do mean business. We got to take a break, though, and we're going to talk more about it right after this.
Right after these messages.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out of this place.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to pay close attention to this particular segment because we're going to say some things that come directly from our heart that we want all of you to know. In that previous segment, though, we were discussing all of the accomplishments that this radio program has garnered this year, this summer specifically. You know, over the years, we have become very media savvy as a result of our work on this program. We have become battle-hardened and battle-scarred, as it turns out. But still, we stand here with flaming sword in hand to advance the ideas and the agenda that made this country the best that civilization has ever produced. And it's the ideas that made this country could have only come from our people. And that's what makes our people so great. And our people deserve to have ardent defenders. And the political cesspool is among the most ardent of the defenders of Western civilization. And as a result, we've become very well known. We're happy of that. We're happy about that. We're happy about the constant publicity that this radio program continues to command. Not because we like or dislike the celebrity that comes with it, but because if our show is getting publicity, it means our ideas are getting publicity, and our ideas are not getting enough publicity elsewhere. That's something that we're proud of. We are able to advance our agenda. We are able to, as a result of the reputation we've forged here, stand on our soapbox and become a household name, and be able to get the ideas that make this show great a larger following. And, Bill, you know, that's something we touched on a few weeks ago when we were kind of reflecting in private about how great of a year it's been for this radio program. We said, you know, when it comes time for the audience to do an inventory and ask, you know, because this is a listener-supported show, what kind of return am I getting on my investment with the political cesspool? Well, I think it's readily apparent.
Well, first of all, and this is an appropriate time to talk about this, this isn't the Jerry Lewis telethon. What we're talking about here is our listeners, those who've contributed to this show, think back and look at what's happened and consider the impact this show has had with virtually a budget that is not even a fraction, there's not even an expense account for the budgets that are spent at CNN, for the budgets that are spent at the Southern Poverty Law Center, or the ADL, or any of these other groups with massive amounts of money. And yet, we have been able to shake the foundations of these institutions by the work that's done by volunteers. So all of those who have contributed, I would say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I know James would say that. I know Eddie and Keith, and I say this. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And know this, and know it absolutely. Not one of us has profited one penny from your contribution. It has all been about the show. And you can absolutely, absolutely trust that we have done this for the sake of our people, for the sake of you, for the sake of your children, for the sake of our folk. We have done it for that reason and that reason alone. And we have not taken one cent of your money except to make this show a phenomenon that is found nowhere else on the airwaves. And that is one thing you can take with confidence, that not one penny has been spent on lunches, on cars, on any sort of income at all. It's all been spent on just keeping the show in the air. And we thank you for it. God bless you for it. Because we're the Christian show that is willing to defy the false Christianity of Judeo-Christian ethics and Judeo-Christian ideas. We have spoken only true Christianity. We have spoken only the truth for our folk, and we will continue to do so, budget or no budget. So, you know, we thank you for all you've done, and remember this always, that we have done it with absolutely clear conscience, and we have done it only for the sake of you and for our people. And you know, James, that's one thing we can say. We can sleep at night about, you know, where our contributors have put their money. And know this, that the future only means more. More of what we're doing.
Well, once you have ascended to a certain level of prominence, it is infinitely easier to continue that than it is to break through that ceiling in the first place. We broke through that ceiling a few years ago, thankfully. And to be able to continue to deliver the results now should be easier in comparison. But that being said, as a listener-supported show, and you know, it does take we do have expenses. There is a budget attached to this, although albeit a shoestring one, there are expenses here that we can't afford to pay for out of pocket. We work for a living just like everyone else. We have families and mortgages, and the expenses to run this radio program are greater than the resources we have available. And that's why the listening audience is such a part of our team here, and such a big ingredient in the success that this show has been able to obtain. We can't get sponsors because we don't play by the rules that Leon Trotsky laid out for us. All right. And we are doing a fall fundraising drive right now at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We got a great incentive there for those who donate between now and September 30th. And the success of our quarterly fundraising drives are vital to the survival and the continuance of our work. Many organizations, many people can ask for your hard-earned money, and I find it hard to do. I'd rather be punched in the gut than have to ask for money. But I think that the return that we give you on your investment in our work is there for you to see. This radio program, as Bill mentioned, is making a positive impact on a massive scale, and those who donate to the show are a large part of that success. Without your support, we can't exist. And, you know, what we've been able to do on the airwaves has not been duplicated. And paleoconservative and Christian European Americans deserve to have one mainstream media voice. We're that voice, and we need your help. If you want to be a part of the success, a continued part of the success, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. There on the blog, you'll find an entry entitled TPC Fall Fundraising Drive. Click on it, and all the details will be there for you to give in a variety of ways. And we're going to continue to do what we do, Bill, each and every night. You know, 6 years. Can you believe it's been 6 years? And, Bill, you were one of the original founding hosts of this radio program. Eddie the Bombardier Miller and Winston Smith came in about a year or 2 years into the run, so they've been with us for 4 years now. Keith Alexander is the baby on the hosting staff. He's been with us for 2 years as an official co-host. And that, of course, makes out our roster, me, you, Winston, Eddie, and Keith. But you've been here from the very beginning. Does it seem like 6 years of have already come and gone. It will be 6 years this October. Does it seem like it's been that long that we've been doing this?
No, but you know what? It's been a fulfillment of everything we could have hoped, James, and more. And you know that. And when I speak to our audience, I can only speak with the greatest praise and the greatest appreciation. What a fine, wonderful, intelligent, and generous audience we have. What a magnificent group of people out there listening to this show who are also carrying forth the opinions and the attitudes and the beliefs and the convictions of this program. We have shared that with people all over the world. And we thank you so much for your support, whether it's been financial, whether it's been spiritual, whether it's been in prayer. We thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And believe me, we couldn't have done it without you. And we want your support in every way. We want you to call in. We want you to tell your friends to listen. You know, we're doing our best, our very best with limited resources to bring this show and get it on the air and get good guests. And believe me, we're going to have some excellent guests in the next shows. We've got Brother Nathaniel coming back on, and we're going to have an absolutely fantastic talk with him. Brother Nathaniel, the Jewish Orthodox, he's a Jew who became an Orthodox priest, and what a story he is. And all of the guests we've had on, what absolute fantastic guests we've had, people who have brought opinions to the world that you may have never heard if you hadn't been listening. We want you to keep listening, and God bless you all.
Yeah, you know, Bill, you're right. As good as it's been the last 6 years, and particularly this summer, we think that the ceiling is still well above where we stand now, and I think that we will continue to ascend and we will continue to grow and thrive so long as our audience continues to stand by us. And we're about to go to a break and head into the third hour. We're going to shift gears and get back onto the political pulpit, but you're probably asking yourself, what's significant about this week? Why are we doing such a recap this week? Well, it's a holiday weekend, and it's the end of the summer, and this summer has been so big for the cesspool. I wanted to bring Bill Rowland on, who's been such a big part of that success, and just kind of thank you for everything that has happened this summer. You're a direct result of that, and that's really the reason. It's the end of the summer. It's a holiday weekend, so we're kind of doing an inventory on all that's been accomplished. But we're going to get back on politics right after these words from our sponsors. Bill, God bless you, buddy. Have a great and safe and enjoyable Labor Day weekend with your family, and I know you'll be back on the show with me in a couple of weeks.
God bless you, James.
All right, for everyone else, stay tuned. I'll be back with more right after this.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.